passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. And here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we like to try to challenge everyone and everything. This is the first Monday of February. Yay, I know what day of the week it is, really. It's the first Thursday of the month. And the first Thursday of every month is Through the Spiritual Lens with Matt Connerton Unleashed, where my good buddy Matt Connerton comes on and we chat about some stuff going on in the world and we try to see if we can put it through a spiritual lens. I don't know that we always succeed, but we do our best to kind of look at what's going on and try to see if we can share a little insight and wisdom. Remember, this is a live call-in show, so you can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. You can also go to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-A-I-N. And you can, first of all, like my page, because I'm a likable guy. If you don't believe me, ask Matt. Then you will see at the top, pinned to the top, is the posting for today. And you can leave questions or comments there, and we will also read them on air. Matt Connerton comes to us from Matt Connerton Unleashed. He'll hop on facebook.com/mydrkevin, and in a comment field, he'll actually put a link where you can listen to his Monday through Friday, 4 to 6, drive time show that you can hear anywhere in the world from none other than Manchester, England. Oh, New Hampshire, New England, New Hampshire, New England. That's something. Where are you, Matt?
I am in Manchester, New Hampshire, Dr. Kevin.
New Hampshire. Was hoping it was Manchester, England, so I would have an excuse to fly across the pond to be on your show. How disappointing.
Oh, my goodness. Why? Are you jonesing to go to Manchester, England?
Well, I got lots of friends in Chester, England. I would definitely like a change of scenery, but I have a change of scenery coming in 8 days.
You do?
Yes.
Tell me more.
A week from tomorrow, I get on the plane, and Jeff and I fly to Curaçao for 9 days. Where we are having our honeymoon. So.
Oh, congratulations. You're finally going on your honeymoon.
Yeah. Well, we decided that, you know, mid-February was a better time for a honeymoon than the beginning of November. So.
Well, mid-February is a good time to get out of here.
Yeah, it's a good time to get out of Dodge. And I'd rather be flying to Curaçao in the Caribbean with 80-degree weather than flying to Manchester, England, where the weather is not quite that nice. Let me see. Right now in Curaçao, it's 80 degrees. It's so boring. It's got a high of 81 and a low of 76. I think I can kind of live with that. And in Chester, it's 43 degrees with a low of 35 today. So, Yeah, I'll take Curaçao.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't blame you. I don't think anyone blames you.
No, nobody should blame me. Everyone should celebrate. So I'd like to start with a couple of pieces of good news of stuff going on in the world. I'd like to talk tonight about the morals and ethics of travel and airlines. And I'm sure at some point we'll probably fall into politics because we usually do when you're on the show.
Yeah.
But I would like to, right now in Bali, they are using recycled cooking oil and it is what they're using for their eco-friendly buses. So in Bali, you can get on a bus and you think that you're riding a fried chicken leg, and you're reusing something that would get thrown away, and you're making less of a negative impact on the world. So what do you think of that? Would you be willing to ride on a bus that's powered with recycled cooking oil?
Yeah, my only concern might be that it will, I assume it smells like food. And, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, Dr. Kevin, but it's my stomach's world, and you all just live in it. So maybe that would be fine.
Maybe that would be fine. Okay.
So, yes, I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. I would love to see Manchester, New Hampshire has a lot of buses. They spend a lot of money on polluting fuels. Cooking oil, I understand, and I could be wrong. Again, you can come to facebook.com/bydrkevin and post a comment or call in at 202-570-7057. So if you know this definitively, we'd love to hear from you. But it is a I think that the burning of cooking oil has a less negative impact on the environment. And let's face it, Manchester, New Hampshire has plenty of fast food restaurants that have oil that they throw out all the time. Guess how much money this
could save? Oh, of course.
Think how much money that the MBTA could save if they just pulled up to Burger King and McDonald's and Wendy's and just loaded up the leftover cooking oil and then drove around for the day.
Yes.
I don't know. Why don't we do more of that in this country?
Well, I assume, though, there's a cost involved in, you know, having engines that that can run on cooking oil. I mean, that's usually one of the big obstacles there is that, you know, it's going to cost a lot of money to switch over.
Yeah, but that money is going to pay for itself over the long run because, you know, you do one bus at a time. When it's time to retire a bus, put the extra money in and getting a bus or get a bus that has to have a lot of work done on it, because these buses have to have a lot of work done on them. I'm pretty sure that Manchester, New Hampshire doesn't have bus riders that like are delicate and make sure that they leave the seat clean every time and are respectful and, you know, so.
Safe bet.
Safe
I back. Think in a lot of cities, though, too, I think they're where they are looking to make a change. They have an eye toward electric vehicles, electric buses. I must tell you, though, speaking of cooking oil, it reminds me of Wesson oil, which makes me think of those Wesson cooking oil ads that I used to see on television, which makes me sad because Florence Henderson is no longer with us.
Yes. I know.
Mrs. Brady.
I know who Florence is.
Yeah.
Now, in Indonesia, we have mothers who are lighting up the world. There is a group of women, mothers, in Indonesia, and the team has got together, and it has distributed almost 7,000 solar lamps across 40 communities in Indonesia. And there's 21 of them, 21 Mothers of Light. And they're here to bring reusable light that would have no cost. And they have got over 2,100 light households in the regions. It is a nonprofit, whatever the nonprofit means in Indonesia. So if people can afford to pay for the lights, they do. But if, you know, it's kind of based on what people can afford, but they're getting lights all over Indonesia. That's kind of cool.
Oh, that's extremely cool. Yeah, that's very positive.
Yeah. I'd love to see more solar going on here. Of course, now that we've got a 30% tariff coming on solar panels,
I know, it's
coming
so
in.
Absurd.
It's so absurd. So absurd. Yeah. You know, it's trying to set us back to pre-World War II days. You know, like we can become an isolationist country. And we all know that our ego in chief, our bully in chief, his ego is so large that he wants the world stage. So why is he ticking off the rest of the world by doing things like this? I'm not sure. Yeah, that is a little sad. But it's really good that we've got these empowered women in Indonesia bringing communities light to live by.
You could even say they've solar empowered women in Indonesia. Get it? You see what I did there?
Yes. Or you could be solar empowered by the women in Indonesia.
Right. Well, yeah, that's kind of the same as my joke, but that's okay.
I reversed. You had the women being solar empowered. I have the women solar empowering. There's a difference.
Well, slightly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways, it's your joke. It's your joke. I just built on it. I made it a little better, a little more accurate. That's okay. We're not going to hold this
against
you, Matt.
You were envious. You were envious of my joke.
Let me look in the mirror.
My sheer comic genius.
Let me look in the mirror, see if I can see any green growing around the edges, flushing my face. Oops. Yep. Well, no, I don't see any.
If you see any of that, you should see a doctor. My goodness.
Yeah. So
green around the gills.
Did you happen to catch the Michelle Obama, her little like impassioned message to the world that she did on Ellen DeGeneres' show when she went on to wish Ellen a happy 60th birthday? We'll be right back.
I did not see it.
We'll be right back and we'll talk about that.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more. All to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world one om at a time. Also, here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we try to challenge everything and everyone, but this is the first Monday of the month. I'm here with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. Go, Matt. Go, Matt. Go, Matt. Matt has a 4-6 drive time show Monday through Friday. That actually Comes out of Manchester, New Hampshire, but is available worldwide. You can go to facebook.com/bydrkevin, and you can see the link under today's posting if you ever want to listen to any of Matt's shows. I haven't been on for a few weeks. I'm going to have to come back, but probably not till after
the
honeymoon.
You are always welcome.
Yes, and I appreciate that. And so, but come and join us. And now, we were talking about the Michelle Obama thing. Michelle, because, you know, it's Ellen's 60th birthday. It was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I know. You would never know it looking at her. I guess CoverGirl has been good to her.
Yes.
And, but, you know, there's been, you know, lots of stars and tributes and things going on. And, you know, it was very interesting because it was almost un-Ellen-like. She had Michelle Obama on, and she said that, you know, she asked Michelle what she would say to the viewers, the people in the audience, because a lot of people feel like this is really scary times and that there's a lot of people struggling, and what would Michelle say to them? And that a lot of people think that this country is headed in the wrong direction. And I have to give that woman a ton of credit. If you get a chance to watch this clip, you should. Because right out of the gate, she said, yes, and there are people in this country that think it's headed in the right direction. And there are people in this, you know, country that agree with, you know, what's going on and what's happening. And that's what makes this country this country. And that this country is a mosh pit. And that's what this country is supposed to be. But what I really liked is, and the message I wanted to bring on to the radio show and share with you and the listeners, was that she talked about, but the best thing people can do is to continue to be them, their kind, nice, empathetic self. And that even when she was on the road and her husband was campaigning and stuff like that, they'd go to places where people didn't like her. Didn't like her husband or whatever. But she goes, but I always saw people being nice to each other, showing up, helping each other. That there is that, you know, don't give your power to Washington, D.C. like that's the real America, because Washington is not the real America. That's not really what Americans in their daily life are like.
Well said, yeah. Well, it's like she said, you know, in her convention speech, which has been oft repeated, when she said, you know, when they go low, we go high.
Yeah, yeah. And I just think that, you know, that's what we want to remember is it's easy to get your time, your energy, your resources, and your very soul sucked out in the drama that we call Washington, D.C.,
right.
That is. I wouldn't want anyone to think I'm talking about Washington State. I used to live there. I like Seattle. but Washington, D.C. And that's the message I want to pass on and talk to you about is, overall, do you think Americans, overall, when they're left to their own devices, do you think that we're basically, more often than not, still a nice set of people? Are we good people in this country? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty optimistic in that way, and I can be very, very cynical on my program, certainly, but I'm cynical about politics. But human beings in general, no, I think people are generally good and want to do the right thing. And, you know, so I mean, it doesn't always seem that way in our politics. Sometimes our politics can get very mean and very divisive. But I think I think people are basically good, generally.
Yeah, and I think that we need to remind Washington that it does not really represent the average American. I mean, you know, and I know that we'd like to see Washington as it stands now be completely overhauled. You know, and we've had various conversations on if and how and when that could happen, but I think we keep on need to send a message to Washington that says, smarten up and stop acting like middle schoolers. And I'm probably going to get some complaint from middle schoolers because I just insulted them. But
yeah. Yes. Well, so, I don't know, Dr. Kevin. I think some of these middle schoolers, I think it's about time they pull themselves up by their bootstraps, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
A lot of them just are leeching off the system and their parents.
Yeah,
they should be out getting jobs.
Well, I'll let you go into your local middle school and see if you can sell that. Though, I had a very intense conversation about a blog that I wrote. And I think that we should have we've created a false, we've elongated childhood. Childhood used to not be as long as it is. It used to be when you turned... go ahead.
That's the Newt Gingrich. That's what he said. He's written books about that. That it used to be, you got to be 13 and you graduated school and went to work on the farm.
Yep.
And started a family.
And I think that, more so as a boomerang effect by all of the emotional and mental damage that was done to... initially some was done in World War I, but a lot was done in World War II, and the whole upheaval of the American family and the American system and women out in the workplace and more and more people leaving the farms and going into the cities than ever, and men coming back with what today we would call post-traumatic stress syndrome, or physical, mental, emotional handicaps that were not allowing them to function. And somewhere through all of that, we idolized and created this time of, elongating kids, almost like we didn't want them to go out into the world. And so I actually did a blog and got into a pretty heated discussion with somebody, because I said that I think that at the end of middle school, that kids should be tested, and kids that are not academically inclined should be sent to technical schools or be offered to have some kind of on-the-job training, and that they shouldn't be forced to go into high school. That if a kid has, if learning is a child's strong suit, if a child desires and does it learn, that they have to earn the right for high school. That it isn't not, I mean, it's bad enough we just give it to them, even if they're, basically failing and failing and failing. Now, some of that failure is the failure of the school system. I want to put that out there. Some of it's the failure of the school system. Some of it is the failure of parenting. But some of it is just the failure of the kid who, he just wants to go learn how to be an HVAC person or work on cars. And if you tapped into his or her passion, teach them, if they want to do makeup and hair, teach them, send them to beauty school when they're 15. But make sure that by the time they get out of middle school, that they can pass a life skills test that says, I can balance a checkbook. Not that anyone uses one anymore, but, I can write a check. I can balance a checkbook. I understand, there are certain life skills that you need to go to get out there. And then, let them go to beauty school. Let them go to auto mechanic school. Let them go wherever, say, this is what you're going to do instead of high school, to take classes that a good part of you will never apply unless you go to college. And then you take a fair amount of classes in college that you never apply, but you had to take them in order to get your degree. The degree you had to get in order to get the job, which half the time no longer exists, but you got all the school debt.
Right.
So I'm like, this is a broken system. I think by eighth grade, ninth grade should be the watershed. Ninth grade should be the year where either you show up and you prove that you, even if you need support to do it, want to study, want to go forward, and are moving into a place where you're going to, that where you're headed is to be a edumacated person in society, or you let it go, or you go into a trade, or it's like, hey, look, you want to skip school 2 or 3 days a week? Go get a job. Every fast food restaurant in town needs help. Go get a job. We're going to let you get a job. Hey, 16, you can work full time. You can sign yourself out of school. I think that we should create this to be an easier thing for people, for kids to do. And I'll tell you, the person that I was talking to was like ready to tear my head off. But what do you think of all of that? I mean, Is it time that we revamped this system and rethought, should we be trying to force kids into getting high school educations? It's not appropriate for us. That's what I think. What do you think? Go ahead.
So I have mixed feelings, and I say this as someone who doesn't know. I mean, you know a lot more about education than I do, so I'm speaking entirely as a layman here. Here's where I'm conflicted. On the one hand, what you have laid out is very practical and pragmatic, and it makes sense, and it's very hard to argue with. The one thing that I question is, and this comes up in my mind, for example, oftentimes questions are raised about, should we continue to teach math in schools the way we have been, where now with computers, kids are having to learn, you know, calculus and things like that. And unless you're going to be a scientist, you're never going to learn. Or should we continue to teach cursive writing in schools when hardly anyone writes in cursive anymore, except for their signature? In some cases, not even that. And the thing that I wonder about is, even with things that a child is never going to, in theory, use, is it still important that they have to learn those things? Because learning those things helps develop certain parts of the brain. So in other words, for example, I'm terrible at math, but maybe it's good that I had to learn how to do algebra. Because even though I didn't enjoy it, and even though I don't apply it in any way, never have, maybe it's good. Maybe it helped develop a part of my brain that I needed to help develop. And is there a risk that kids not being forced to learn certain things, that their minds aren't going to be as developed as they could be? And again, I don't have an opinion one way or the other solidly, because I'm very much a layman on this. I know very little about this subject. But that's the one thing that comes to mind for me where I go, okay, everything about it sounds great, except I just wonder, is there a danger, is there a risk in not having kids go through a traditional high school education?
And I'll respond to that when we get back here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner, and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making home affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times, where we're changing the world one om at a time. And here on the Dr. Kevin Show, we try to challenge everything and everyone. Today is the first Monday of the month, And on the first Monday of the month, we have we put the world through a spiritual lens. And we being Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed, go Matt go, and myself. You can catch up with Matt at by going to facebook.com/mydrkevin, and there's a link that will take you to Matt's Drive Time show that he does Monday through Friday. It airs out of Manchester, New Hampshire, but is available everywhere in the world. You can also leave comments there on that Facebook page under tonight's posting if you'd like to be part of this conversation, or you can call us in at 202-570-7057. So this is what I would say about, I think that there is a certain place where kids need to learn stuff, and we need to be teaching them in a more kinesthetic way where it applies so we can engage them. Because if somebody sits in an algebra class and doesn't really get it, doesn't really pay attention, doesn't try to learn, doesn't see where it fits into their life, maybe they barely pass, maybe they pass with a D, and sometimes they just pass enough because if there's not something on their school, if there's not something on the school testing about algebra, then they may just get kicked forward into geometry. But, you know, you can bring a kid to a classroom, but you can't make them learn. So just sitting there isn't actually accomplishing the expanding of the brain. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, and what I would say is that, you know, and there could be a re-opt-in program. You could take somebody that's a ninth grader that's 13, 14 years old and have them say, yeah, no, I'm done with school. I'm never going to college. I just blah, 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 blah. And then there is a transition program of what they're going to need to learn, you know, auto mechanics or HVAC or beauty school or whatever there is. Or they go get a job at a fast food restaurant or someplace that will hire them. We make it so that happens. And they may, after 6 months, come begging back and say, no, I'll work harder. I want to learn. I don't want to do this. But it's better that they find that out at 14 and 15 and can turn around and make up for lost time if it's just a matter of being, you know, all like I'm going to be independent, versus that at 18 when they barely graduated and can't, you know, read, write, or do arithmetic, but they have a high school diploma, then they're in a completely different category, and no one's going to help them at that point pick up where they left off. Right?
True. Yeah. No, that's true.
You know?
No, and you make a powerful argument. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to talk about corporate responsibility in a second, but I'd like to share another positive story. Would you like to hear another positive story?
Absolutely. Can always use some of those.
Well, and you know what? I have been saying for a while that, because, you know, I usually do the hot topic, which is either warm and fuzzy or hot under the collar on all my other radio shows. And I don't do that here because all of our, this whole show is about topics.
Yes.
But I've been really looking at how many times it's a hot under the collar topic. And I'm going, you know what? These things have to be discussed, but also, I mean, some of these have to be discussed. Some of these don't have to be discussed. Some of them, discussing them doesn't even do anything about them. It doesn't change them. But I think also that, you know, that when you give somebody something that makes them warm and fuzzy or makes them feel good or may give them an idea of how they can take some kind of positive action, that we're doing a whole lot more good in the world than feeding somebody's I'm so frustrated, angry, I just want to hit somebody button, because then they go out and they hit somebody. So I'm trying to not get caught up in the drama that we call Washington and today's media. Because good news doesn't sell. We all know that.
That's right. Good news doesn't sell.
Yeah. So there's this guy in Singapore. It's so funny. I keep on finding stuff that's in some other part of the world. But I know there's a lot of good stuff that goes on in this country, but tonight it just seems to be out there. And he says, when you do something that has meaning to you, you don't have time to think about the pain. Because of his brother's illness, he became self-taught. He was a self-taught Chinese herbalist. And now he grows Chinese herbs in the local community garden where he is in Singapore. And he gives the herbs away at no charge. And he, one of the reasons is because his brother was diagnosed with lymphoma and faced expensive medical cost. And then he actually went on and because of a fall had to undergo a knee surgery. But he still continues to work. And at this garden, and he helps people and he helps them find ways that they can afford to help themselves, especially if they can't afford a traditional medical solution to something because it's just too outrageously expensive.
Yeah. Wow.
And I know there is an organization here. I've had the woman on my radio show. It was a couple of years ago called Herbalist Without Borders. And they're herbalists who will go out there and try to do community work and educate and share, just like Doctors Without Borders. But I think that, you know, if you have a skill set or a knowledge base that can help people, yeah, we all need to make a living. I need to make a living. People pay for my services. They pay for my knowledge and my training and my gifts and my talents. But there are also things that I give away, I share. There are things that I do. And I think that we all need to take a look and say, how can my passions, how can my talents, how can my gifts, how can something that brings me joy to do, how can I use that to bring joy into the world, to make the world a better place? What would it be for you, Matt? Yeah. If I magically said, here is 5 hours a week, 1 hour a day, or 5 hours on one day, where whatever you were going to do was going to get taken care of, and it's 5 hours for you to make the world a better place, what would you do? What would be the gift or talent you'd bring out to the world?
I think something I do professionally already, but I think I would probably want to find people who need who could use some help through hypnotherapy and try to help people that way.
Now, I had Jay Gupta on my TV show. Jay is the founder of Yoga Caps. He is also the director of Pharmacy and Holistic Healing for Partnership for Successful Living. I'm going to get him on my radio show at some point, I think. And in 1983, he started researching and started making correlations because he was born and his early years were spent in India and he had asthma. And they taught him yoga and yogic poses, which helped eliminate his asthma. And so he's been studying since the early 80s about how to use yoga as medicine.
Wow.
I'm hoping that. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, yoga is it's interesting because it seems to have a lot of applications that people don't necessarily consider.
And I'm really hoping that he will come to be at the Web of Light Expo. I've sent him the information. I'd love him to be there as a speaker and love him to also be there and share his wisdom at a booth with people and help them. But yeah, yoga as medicine. This guy is using a community garden to grow healing herbs. In this case, Chinese herbs. He's in Singapore. Kind of makes sense to me. But he's doing that experience. Hypnosis. Can hypnosis help with pain?
Yes. It's funny. I was having a conversation with someone about this just yesterday. And the technique that I use with hypnosis to try to help people with pain is to try to get them to imagine the pain as not a feeling or a sensation, but almost like an object that's inside of them that they can use their mind to push out, to remove the object from them so that it no longer affects them in the same way. And it seems to be a very, very useful technique, very helpful.
You know, and so if you know, because I have some clients because they've come down and some states are worse than others about the opiate addiction and about, you know, not the the overriding of pain medications. And yes, there are people. My father was one of them in his day that back in the 70s, he fell down at work. He worked at the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard and he slipped on some ice and he shattered his kneecap.
Oh, wow.
And he worked as an electrician and had to, and that was the end of his career because you can't be an electrician. And he was an electrician on submarines along with other, among other things. There's no way he could do his job. And the government did send him back to school and retrain him and blah, 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 blah. But during that process, I truly believe there was a period where he was hooked on pain medications.
Oh, no kidding.
And
and
played out a lot of symptoms in retrospect, because I was a kid, but in retrospect, were the signs of an addict. And, you know, my father wasn't buying, you know, wasn't buying hashish or heroin on street corners. He was getting prescriptions filled at the local pharmacy.
Right.
And,
right.
You know, but that pendulum has swung so far on the back way that pain clinics are closing because they've come down so hard that now they're like, now again, it's, you know, it varies some from state to state, but the feds have got involved obviously as well, where there are people who are in legitimate pain and they're losing their access to pain medication.
That's been a very big problem here in New Hampshire. That's been a very big problem. Yep.
So maybe you should come do my expo. Maybe you should come do my expo. Maybe you should be there. Maybe you should actually have a booth and put yourself out as a hypnotist. And maybe you should do a talk about hypnosis as pain hypnosis for pain management. You probably would have standing room only.
Yeah, probably.
We will be right back for the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive dedicated community.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of OM Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show. The last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show on the first Thursday of the month, where I'm here with Matt Connerton Unleashed. You can hear Matt from 4 to 6, Monday through Friday, or you can hear him on replay. You can hear him on his live call-in show that comes out of Manchester, New Hampshire. But if you are not local to Manchester, New Hampshire, you can go to the link that is on the facebook.com/mydrkevin page. Click onto it, and you can be listening to Matt live, or you can listen to Matt in repeat and what goes on that show, a show which I am a semi-regular on. And I'm sure I'll be back. And you can leave comments for today's show here on facebook.com/mydrkevin. When you come to my page, make sure you like it. I am a likable guy. Aren't I, Matt?
Yes.
Yeah. Is that, how come that didn't sound like convincing, Matt?
I think I said it quite vociferously.
Or you can join us by calling in, because it's a live call-in show, 202-570-7057. So, yeah, Matt, I mean, you know, I know that you have your, you know, you have your eBay stuff, and I know that you love your all of your media stuff, and you're getting ready to join me to be my co-host for the month. That's coming up on Monday.
Yes, indeed.
He's going to come and be my co-host. Yeah, for my Web of Light TV show. Yeah, he's going to come. Remember to bring changes of clothing, because we are going to be taping multiple shows. The Price is Right. The Mad is Right. I think we should. I think that you should go out there and serve the world by helping people that are being caught in this pendulum swing of politics, and really do need some pain assistance. And you could be doing that through your hypnosis. I think that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've got a new office that I'm working in now, actually, right here in Manchester.
Oh, my. Where is that?
Yes. It's actually in my home. we had an extra room, and so now we've converted it into an office, and I started seeing clients there. And it's very convenient for me, because there's no commute.
You know, I know that. I mean, I know that joy, and
yes.
Definitely, so I would love to, I'd love to come check out your office sometime, and who knows, maybe, just maybe, if I had some people in Manchester that wanted to see me, maybe I'll see about, you know, if I could see them at your office, if you're not using it, you know.
Oh, there
slip
you go.
Slip you a few shekels, yeah. You know, slip you a few shekels.
Yeah, we could work that out, definitely, yeah.
So now I've done a positive story in every segment. Have I not?
Yes.
So now I'm going to talk about the ethics and morals of travel and travel-related companies. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you a little story. So in November, I would like our listeners to come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, share your story, or you can call in at, again, 202-570-7057. But I think that, I mean, there's been some accountability, but we're hearing more and more horror stories about airlines. There was one that just happened where a woman, there was some confusion, and they made her get off the plane, and she was flying home to her dying mother, and her mother died before she could get there.
Oh, no.
And the error was on the airplane, on the air companies, the air travel places. So, but I have been told, and I don't know if it's true, because I have tended to hang out with one airline. I used to be a big American airline fan. Then I started doing a lot with U.S. Airways and bought between the two. And when I moved to Phoenix, that was the U.S. Airways hub. So I just did all my stuff through U.S. Airways, because it was a major hub. So I could a lot of times get direct flights to places. And boom, of course, U.S. Airways bought American when American went into filed some kind of bankruptcy. So now I have American Airlines, which was absorbed by U.S. Airways, but because American has a much longer thing, has kept the name. So it's now American Airlines. I've been a frequent flyer person since the late 80s. So I've been a customer for 30 years. Okay. And some of those times I was a gold member and a platinum member, and I was flying lots, and I would get upgrades to first class. And then there are periods in my life where I don't fly so much, that more of my stuff and more of my business seems to be just something I can drive to or is local. But they can look at the length I've been involved, and they've got a record of how many miles I've flown with them. And it's a ton, especially if you combine the two companies. All of this leads up to the fact that my mother-in-law gave Jeff and I our honeymoon as our wedding gift. And she gave us most of our honeymoon. There was a certain amount that she said that this is what she could do. I kicked in the rest, but she paid for 2/3 of it. So basically, you know, whatever. And she booked it through American Airlines Travel. And I was very happy with that because, you know, I got my frequent flyer miles and I get my, you know, and I get my advantage numbers and I do this stuff. And we were going to go to St. Croix. Well, St. Croix got devastated in the hurricanes. Mm-hmm. So we get a call. We have to change our reservations. We have to do something else. The resort that we were going to go to could still the resort was fine, but the airport wasn't going to be functioning in time for us to fly into it. And the island was still in questionable condition to be hosting tourists. So we changed over to Carousel. So on November 15th, this date is somewhat important. On November 15th, I spent 2 hours with an American Airlines vacations travel person. We get everything switched over. We're all set. I actually, because of some price differences, I end up getting 9 days instead of 8 days for my honeymoon.
Oh.
went to an island that was our second choice. I mean, we were trying to decide whether we were going to go to Carousel or St. Croix, and we were going back and forth, and we decided on St. Croix, and now we're going to end up in Carousel. So, I mean, not a big difference. All, you know, all-inclusive resort, which is what we wanted. This is all good. And again, you know, it took some time, and they had a couple of things which I said, these are real system nightmare errors. Like, they had you call in the regular line to say and wait on hold to switch it over. But you waited on hold to talk to somebody and say, and you're supposed to tell them, here, you know, I got contacted by American Airlines about I have to redo my vacation, to be told, oh, well, there's special people you have to talk about that, so I'm going to transfer you now. Where then you go on hold and hold and hold and hold again, instead of just creating a number or an extension where if you're going to go do that, that's what you do. Not, why are you calling somebody who you tell your whole story to that says, I can't help you. I'm just going to move you along. That's insane. That's just bad business. So I was upset at the time about that, but I finally got to the right person. It took me 48 hours. And my concern is a lot of people's vacations got ruined. We're going on our honeymoon over Valentine's Day week. How many people are going to take a romantic vacation on Valentine's Day week? You know, how quickly are stuff going to be snapped up? You know, so I really wanted to be on top of getting this thing fixed. Fast forward. We get it fixed. Everything's all set. Fast forward. About a week ago, a friend of mine who's a travel agent sends me a message and says, I've been having a lot of problems with flights getting rescheduled and seats getting and my customers getting to the airport to find out that even though they had seat assignments when they made the reservation, the seat assignments have gone away. Well, now here I am. How many stories do we hear in the news about airports and overbooking? Right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So you want your seat assignment. You absolutely want your seat assignment. So I go on last week, I check. Boston to Miami's fine. Miami to Carousel. Somehow they've kicked out our seat assignments. We have no seat assignments. So I have to go get seat assignments for us from Miami to Curacao and Curacao back to Miami.
Wow.
We're not done yet. They don't have two seats together. Now, I'm flying to my honeymoon. I would like to sit with my husband. I had two seats, and I reserved them back in November, November 15th.
Yeah.
I cannot get two seats together unless I upgrade to one of the other seats, which costs more money. So now I have to pay an extra $140 after there's already been over $6,000 spent on this vacation.
Wow. Oh, jeez.
To make sure that we have seat assignments so we don't show up and then not end up getting on the flight because, oh, we're overbooked and you don't have a seat assignment, so you're out of luck. And, you know, and so I go to complain to somebody. I shouldn't have to pay it. And that's the, I don't get to finish the story.
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, we're out of time.
We are out of time. But all I can say is keep an eye on your airlines and your travel companies because they will screw you over.
Absolutely.
Take care.
All right. Bye, Kevin.
I'll see you Monday.
Okay.